Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, bringing you news and commentary for your accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
Sponsored by Serotech, makers of iBlink Radio, System Access, and Samnet. Catch up on the latest in technology news, hear interviews from the makers of your favorite products, meet the mailbag, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 207 for August 11th, 2014. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And I'm Buddy Brandon, too tired to be clever or anything like Joe Steinkamp is. So, hi.
Well, he's going to be tired before too long because he's off to another convention shortly.
Yeah, he's going to go to Blinded Veterans Association, big old convention in Reno.
Yes.
Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he and Mailbag are just sort of touring the country.
Indeed. It's kind of interesting because Joe and I were talking earlier today about the every Labor Day on SPN Radio, we, for that whole weekend, we do relive the, you know, summer of convention coverage, or sometimes we'll even go back and grab CSUN and stick that in there too. And we have at least 12 hours of continuous coverage so far, and we're not done yet.
Yes.
We've got more stuff to put up there, but... So when Labor Day rolls around, you can just veg out and listen to interviews and not hear the same thing twice, which is pretty cool.
Because it will be just like you were there.
It will.
Except you won't be getting hit in the face with backpacks and things. We do that for you.
And you won't have to fight about elevators. You won't have to have elevator wars. And you won't.
Yeah.
Your guide dog won't get smacked by canes and things like that.
Yeah, Eddie was actually limping at the end of one convention because I have a feeling that somebody trod upon him.
Oh.
And so it's the really big conventions. It can be something else.
A little bit hectic, perhaps.
Yes.
Well, you know, the cool thing is you can, no matter what you're doing around the house, you can listen to our coverage, of course, on Windows if you have Samnet, and you should, or we'll provide SPN radio links. Or you can listen on your iDevice if you have one of those as you're puttering around. Or if you have an Android device, you can listen on there.
You can
or
listen
if you have
on
a Kindle Fire, you can listen on
those
that.
Those will work.
You do that, don't you, buddy?
Yeah, I have a Kindle Fire.
And you can also listen on the Mac. You can.
Finally, you can listen on the Mac. Yay.
Because we have iBlink Radio for the Mac, and it is the coolest thing since peanut butter, I think.
Yes.
Peanut butter is pretty cool. Okay, crunchy or creamy?
Awesome.
Smooth.
Oh, I'm good with either.
Yeah, I prefer creamy, but either one works. So,
see, Melanie's definitely on board with creamy. If I had my druthers, I'd druther have crunchy.
Gotcha. That works.
Okay, so creamy with chocolate, crunchy by itself. That's kind of where I stand.
Anything with chocolate is fine.
There is that. But, you know...
Especially dark chocolate. Oh. But not that fake chocolate. Whoever likes that...
No, that needs to be respelled as chocolate because it tastes like chalk.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I think I will start referring to it as chocolate instead of calling it marketing chocolate.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
There you go. And we could even, you know, record a tasting of chocolate versus chocolate. And again, you could listen to it on all these different platforms, including the Mac, because Serotech is just awesome like that.
Yes.
We have a link to the press release in our show notes, which will point you toward demos for the Mac, for iOS, for Android, for all of the platforms. We've done some training, some short demos on how to use iBlink Radio and what all you can do with it in its new update. So definitely check that out.
And how much would you pay for iBlink Radio for the Mac?
Good question.
Well, I would pay a lot.
Hang on. Shouldn't I say, but how much would you pay for iBlink for the Mac? No, not $19.95, not $14.95, not even $9.95. Oh.
Thank you, Buddy Mays.
It is
absolutely free.
Absolutely
it's
free.
It's free.
Even better than kind of free. Yeah. Sort of free. No, it's absolutely free. So there you go. And you know, the whole time that Serotech has been giving things to people, Serotech giveth and Microsoft taketh away.
Oh boy, and howdy, do they ever. Oh.
Yeah. Hey, you like that Skype thing we did? So, yeah,
too bad.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of that.
Yeah, you don't need that. You don't need that unless you can run the latest version of it. And, you know, all those third-party devices that have been using Skype.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, August 4th was the sort of officially announced doom date, as it were. And then they
they didn't actually announce it until August the 1st when they said, oh, by the way, yesterday, we stopped supporting that, but we're going to shut it off on August the 4th.
So you have a couple of days to let your customers know and make them really angry.
Mm-hmm. Indeed
what happened.
That is, in fact, what happened.
So whether it was GW Connect or the SamNet Socializer, it didn't matter. It just
or even third party embedded things like the we suspect
the ID Make
like
Quest?
The yes that
you know no we have an article here. People are asking why. Why are they doing this? One thought, and it's a reasonable point, I guess, is that people are very contented to use old versions of things. And so if Microsoft is getting ready to roll out something new or just wanting people to move to the newer version of their product, they're kind of having to force people just a little bit, push a little bit. But I'm kind of with Buddy. The way they went about it doesn't seem
totally well, and
cool.
then, you know, making it sound like, oh, we're doing this because it's good for you. Kind of like eating your vegetables. You know,
I think an interesting thing to do this with. I mean, we'll talk a little later about Internet Explorer and some other things, but Skype, was this really, I mean, I sort of wonder, are they doing this to kind of dip their toe in the water to see how many people get angry when Microsoft forces an upgrade?
Yeah.
Well, and really, I can understand it if they're going to do some architectural upgrades, you know, and then at some point it would have to be like, okay, this will work, and then when it stops working, when it breaks, you get to keep both pieces. I get that. But when it's just arbitrary in the way that it appears to be arbitrary, at this point, it just feels arbitrary because, oh, sorry, you can't log in anymore because you don't have a new enough version, and you got all that, and then... Yeah, like I said, it's good for you. You have to do it. It's good for you because we say so. And, you know, I don't know. I think that they would have probably engendered a lot more goodwill had they actually, made a more of an explanation of why they were doing it and what. They don't have to necessarily give away all of their plans, but to just wholesale say, oh, we're doing it because it's good for you. You know, I don't know about any of y'all, but when someone tells me I need to do something for my own good, but they don't tell me why...
it's a little
kind of skeptical.
Yes.
I have a funny story that sort of, it doesn't really relate, but you'll appreciate it when I tell you and you'll see why I'm bringing it up. I have a friend who went to Texas Roadhouse and ordered a steak, and he asked the waitress for some A1 steak sauce, and she said, you don't need that. I think you need to take a bite of that steak first. I think you won't need that A1s. And he said to Facebook friends, he said, I'm 60 years old. I've been ordering steak a long time, and I think I know whether I want A1 or not.
Yeah, right.
Some sassy waitress telling me that I don't need it.
I don't need it.
No, this is good enough for you without it.
That's right. Don't need that.
It's good enough for Bubba Joe. It's good enough for you.
That's right.
You'll take it and you'll like it.
Well, fortunately, people are fighting back. People like GW Micro, or I guess AI squared in this case.
ANW
Micro squared, yes.
I'm not sure where IA came from, but that's okay. That's Iowa. Well, anyway.
What is it? IAAIS squared W Micro. Making mergers happen, whether you want them to or not.
Yeah, ANW Micro Scientific, squared.
Space. Like Squarespace?
Squared space, yeah. There we go. ANW Micro Squared Space.
Yes.
ANW Micro Scientific Squared Space.
So they are doing things such as conducting a webinar on Thursday, August 14th at 2 p.m. Eastern. You need to go ahead and sign up for that pretty much as soon as you hear this and arrive on time because room space is limited. But they are going through how to use WindowEyes in conjunction with Skype to do some of the most common tasks without the use of the API. So that should be interesting. And I think there are a couple of other people doing similar things, maybe not quite so screen reader specific.
In fact, Cavi is doing that.
They are indeed. And if you are a part of the Cavi community and you just like that style and the way they teach, or maybe you've thought about taking a course, but you haven't quite taken the plunge, for $25, you can take a short Skype course, which is being held on August the 15th in the U.S., which is a Friday. So you can check their website for the time specifically on that. And, you know, they're going to be not specific to any screen reader, although I can tell you that they tend to use NVDA kind of as their default.
Sort of default, yeah.
Yeah, but which is good. I mean, that's fine. I think you'll be able to. Skype is one of those things that, I guess, what would you say? Accessibility-wise is definitely a work in progress.
That's putting it kindly.
Things that would be easier to do than others. Yes.
That would be charitable, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so between all of that, hopefully the space that's left by things going away will be, the inconvenience of those things going away will hopefully be short-lived, you know, and I don't know, maybe these Skype courses are going to become about as common as Cheap Braille Display Rumors. How about?
Ooh, I like Cheap Braille Display Rumors, except I've sort of been excited,
I've seen,
you know.
So many of them that haven't come to anything, but you know, this one might actually come to pass. Orbit Research has an agreement with the Transforming Braille Group, which is a thing I've never heard of, are in talks to produce a low-cost, and by low-cost we mean around $300, 20-cell Braille display to bring more affordable Braille reading not only to developing places but to libraries and things like that. So it sounds like it's going to be optimized for Braille reading, maybe book reading. It sounds a bit like other projects that have been proposed, like the Bristol Braille Project, for example.
Yeah, and I would love to know what technology they intend to use to make this happen. And they do say that they're not looking to completely circumvent the existing Braille technology in the market necessarily. Mm-hmm. This is, I wouldn't call it kind of disposable Braille, but it does seem to be maybe not as, you know, the idea is that you have Braille, but it's not going to be as high quality as what exists right now. But this is a great start. And the fact that Orbit Research is involved is sort of comforting in that, you know, they've brought us really great stuff like the iBill.
They have the iBill. And before, it's funny because people started hearing about Orbit with the iBill, but they actually came out with a modified TI Talking Scientific Calculator.
Oh,
which
that's
was,
right. Yes, they did. It was like the TI 30-something or other.
33, 35, 36,
yeah.
Something. And it was significantly cheaper, as I recall, than there was only one other scientific talking calculator out there that was a specific. There was a scientific one and a financial one, and they were specifically made for blind people. It was not a modified thing. It was a specialized product
made from scratch, kind of specialized thing, right?
And the thing that Orbit Research did was significantly cheaper than that, as I recall. Now I've never seen one, but that they've done that and that they've done the iBill gives them a bit of a track record. Yeah, I suspect, like they said, that you know the refresh rate on this thing isn't going to be. You know how when you advance the most Braille displays, modern Braille display,
it's immediate,
now, you
know,
you get a whole line immediately. I don't think it's going to be quite like that. I think we're probably going to be seeing a bit of a slower refresh rate. But for $300, that's fine. I'll have one. But the other thing that really gives me a bit more confidence about this than I've gotten from other similar project proposal or project things that we've seen, like, for example, Bristol Braille. And there's another one. There was another one that I saw from Canada, and I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, but I don't either. I remember what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, but the thing that really gives me a bit more confidence in this is that we have a projected release date. Mind you, we had a projected release date with Braille to go as well, but we have a projected release date, and these other low-cost Braille display projects didn't have one of those, so keep your eyes peeled right around beginning to middle of 2016.
Yep.
Well, don't know when this next project's going to be released for sure, but NV Access is working on a speech player for or a speech synth for NVDA. Many people know about eSpeak if you use NVDA at all. But the guys over there are working on a new speech synth. And actually, there's a survey here that they have put up in our show notes. We'll link to that. And they kind of want you to listen to about four speech samples and tell them what you like and what you five. Thank you. And tell them what you like and what you don't. Yes.
One of which what you like and what you don't. And this remarkably is like eSpeak. And may very well be eSpeak.
Actually, they are. Yeah. They're all eSpeak. There are a couple of the CLAT voices and a couple of the other eSpeak voices. And I think what they're going for here, because you don't get any of the speech samples from their speech player, which is what they're working on. It's kind of calling it the speech player.
I thought that a couple of those did sound very much like speech player. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I don't think so. I got the. Maybe, but I don't know. I thought they all sounded well. Like the ones that I preferred, for example, were the CLAT eSpeak variants.
Okay. Right. So this is there is actually an add-on right now called Speech Player, and this is what I'm using
yourself,
when I'm using NVDA. Do you really? Because they had a binary released.
They had
just
a binary that got kind of put out there that somebody built from source and then stuck somewhere.
Okay, so that is an official, and any updates that they do now, binary. Then you would be building yourself. But I like this because you have these fun things that you can do with these
really
parameters.
Screw it up.
Yeah, you can.
You can really screw it up real good.
You absolutely
like
can.
Yeah, you can set some of the parameters so that all you get is like a really single high-pitched tone.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of fun.
Not good if you manage to do that. And
no.
I don't think that we're going to see this in iOS 8 because they're still working on it. And besides, Apple's not all that much about, you know, including different synths other than a couple of the chosen ones. But if you are looking to learn about iOS 8, Jonathan Mosen is hard at work updating his iOS Without the Eye book, 1995 on release day for iOS 8, if you're interested in checking that out.
Yeah, and then it looks like Shelley Brisbane is doing something to sort of promote her iOS book and her approach to training, or her approach to sort of iOS access training. And I really like this title. It's very clever. She's calling it Chapters, C-H-A-P-T-E-R-S.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, that was really cool. I thought that was kind of cool the way she did that. But chapters are basically she's taking, at least for now, this may expand, but she's taking a chapter. She took a chapter out of her iOS accessibility manual that she wrote that we covered a few podcasts ago, and is breaking those out into little modules that you can buy for 99 cents a piece to either get a better feel for specific aspects of iOS, or if you like, maybe, you know, if you're not sure you want to go ahead and buy her whole book, you can buy one of these and see how you like the way she approaches things. And if you do, then you'll have a better idea of how that goes, and then you can get the rest of it. I think it's kind of a good idea.
Absolutely. Like if all you cared about was the mail app and you really didn't want to learn anything else, then 99 cents gets you a chapter about the mail app, and you're all set.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So check out her site, and there's a link to that in the show notes at www.sarotalk.com.
99 cents. I actually remember the days when you could rent a movie for 99 cents. I think those days are long gone.
Yeah.
Way. So we have an article here, San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind, sued Redbox because their kiosks were not accessible. And
at all.
We have a quote
and
here.
And for those of you who don't know what Redbox is.
Okay, good point.
Redbox is, it's not a store. It's like it's a DVD vending machine where you rent movies from this thing and you just pick your movie, pay your money, you get the movie, and then, you know, when you're done, you bring it back to the vending machine and
goes back into
circulation.
I kind of got mixed feelings about this one. I mean, there's a quote in the article from a 30-year-old who says, you know, that she likes to watch movies with her husband and son, and it's embarrassing and humiliating for her to not be able to accessibly or independently use Redbox. To me,
I think that's overstating it just a little.
Yeah.
Embarrassing. I'd say it's inconvenient. It's a pain in the patootie and things like that. But embarrassing.
Yeah.
There are so many aspects of our lives where we have to get help from sighted people. You know, when you go to the grocery store and you need to go shopping and you don't have someone that you can just bring with you when you. Or shopping for anything, really. You know, when you read the mail that your scanner can't read, someone sends you something that's handwritten. Doesn't happen very often anymore, admittedly, but it does sometimes. I think embarrassing, I don't think I'd take it as far as embarrassing. I think that there's some merit here, and I think that it's high time that we have more access to more of this kind of thing, not just because it's technologically possible, but you know, because it really is becoming, you know, these self-serve kiosk kind of things are becoming more the norm rather than the exception. And since it's technologically possible for us to have access to that, and I think with minimal expense, if it's done right in the beginning during design, I think it's been proven now that these things can be done. And yes, it's starting to become more of a thing that people are thinking about and they're doing just as a matter of course. And I think we're going to see more of that. To say that it's embarrassing, I think is overstating it just a bit.
So I guess from my point of view, then on the one hand, I totally agree. People need to become more aware of these self-serve kiosks and they need to be more accessible to the blind community. On the other hand, I can't recall the last time my wife and I went to Redbox and got a movie.
It almost feels like
we're really putting a lot of time and energy into something that's on its way out anyway.
Yeah, it's like a little too late. And at the same time, I'm actually right with you in terms of, you know, renting a movie at a kiosk. That seems like so 2004 or something. But there are self-serve kiosks everywhere. And if this serves as sort of a wake-up call to, hey, airports, you have self-serve kiosks where people can scan their boarding passes and check in.
Don't even get me started on the airport thing. You know, with their agreement that, what was it, 10% of airport kiosks have to be accessible by, like, you know, 2025.
Yeah, this is
really. It's like why even bother?
Yeah, by that time it's going to be different technology anyway. And until then, yes. But all of these self-serve kiosks, whether it's renting a movie or doing something that maybe you're a little more likely to do, it's good to see this getting a little attention, even though I think this particular example is like, well, great for the 68 people who actually still rent DVDs. This is a good idea.
You know, the other thing is that I think more than an embarrassing thing that she says that it was embarrassing to her to have to not be able to do that. I think that the bigger issue here is if you really want to do these things and you need to use these touchscreen kiosks. I've seen these touchscreen things where you like order a sandwich at a convenience store.
Oh, yeah. That is becoming more prevalent.
Yeah. So, you know, this stuff isn't going away, unfortunately. I think the bigger issue, though, than I was embarrassed to need to use one of these things and being unable, I think the bigger issue is, you know, not just ability, but it's a privacy issue.
It is.
Because when you have, when you have somebody else... Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't want somebody to know that you're renting, you know, Justin Bieber concert footage, that's a thing. And you don't want to have to explain it's for my friend's niece's cousin that I'm doing this. But this is becoming prevalent in restaurants where they hand you the tablet and you can order that way and so on. And I guess what I can really hope for is that they standardize on some sort of platform that has built-in accessibility. You know, they could run these things on Android perhaps and or iOS or whatever. But if you had a version of Android, it's very customizable and you have some accessibility built in that is getting better and better pretty much every day, actually. And we have an article here from Marco, who revisits his 30 days of Android experiment. He did this last year, and there were a lot of things that he came away just very frustrated with. Like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I can't use the calendar. I can't enter things on the keyboard in the way that I want to. And he was able to, in this recent foray back into this, he was able to mark a lot of that stuff off the list, whether it be from actual improvements to Android, which there have been a lot, or just from suggestions from people. Like, by the way, in the calendar, just switch to agenda view. And, you know, it's been working accessibly for a while if you just know to switch to that. So the Android community has been very vocal in assisting him. And the neat thing is, reading the comments sort of gives you an idea of what people in the Android community are using right now. And a lot of people have very positive things to say about the Samsung line, because Samsung is doing some accessibility stuff even way beyond what stock Android is offering. And that is neat.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of it sounds very iOS-like for people
who
really are going to have trouble making the switch.
Right. I just saw a Galaxy S5 recently, and I was really prepared to hate it. And I didn't. And, you know, it was still very much Android, but there were some things like triple-click home to turn on or off TalkBack. And there were some settings in accessibility that you don't see in stock Android. I believe LG is doing this for one of their phones. I forget which it is, but some people are taking pages from Samsung's book when it comes to this, which is really cool to see accessibility become a thing that manufacturers actually work on rather than just saying, here's what stock Android gave you.
That's somebody else's deal.
Yeah.
That's somebody else's problem. Yeah, you know, the number of things that he was not able to do has shrunken by lots, or that he had difficulty doing has shrunken by a lot. Now, of course, the one problem with Android remains, its Achilles heel, if you will, remains the fragmentation, the fact that so many different versions of Android are out there and so many different hardware platforms aren't upgrading to the latest stuff.
Yes,
the latest
versions
of Android. It's a big deal. And yes, TalkBack is different. And yes, TalkBack does update separately from Android. So you can get a very new version of TalkBack and it'll run on your old Jelly Bean 4.1.2. But that doesn't mean that you're going to get all of the features and all of the fixes and all of the whatnot that make it work better and that make accessibility better in KitKat or even in whatever that is.
You mentioned
Jelly Bean 4.3.
Right. So I think the days of having a phone that you keep forever without updating, that's sort of gone, just like the days of having a single screen reader are gone. And it's not just about accessibility. Every manufacturer wants you to buy new stuff. Whether it's an Android device and the carriers just aren't pushing new updates because they want you to come and buy something new, or whether it's iOS and, hey, go grab the iPhone 6 with iOS 8 And, you know, here we cut off updates to iOS 7 on these devices. All of these companies are pushing you to get better hardware. And so if you're interested in having all of the features, then getting a new device every couple of years is just going to become the norm, I feel like.
Well, and it's no accident either that these all these companies now have early upgrade plans like Verizon's Edge and T-Mobile. What's the name of their plan? It's I only know that it's Verizon Edge because I have it. But T-Mobile has a plan. Actually, T-Mobile did it first.
Yeah.
Where you can basically get the device and then make monthly payments on it. And once you either pay it off or pay a certain amount of it off, you can then send it in and get a new thing with it in as early as 6 months. It's no accident that those plans are becoming quite popular. I think that people have really gotten very frustrated with the two-year device cycle, especially with the way things are, with the rapid release of hardware and OS is not updating as frequently, the OS is upgrading frequently, but maybe not
the
upgrading on all devices.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think people have started getting frustrated with that. So, you know, that's a thing.
Coming up after the break, I bite the dust, Ricky drops her charm, and Buddy is on shaky ground right here on Serotalk Podcast 207.
Looking for the perfect gift for a loved one with vision loss? Elegant Insights Braille Creations offers a distinctive collection of jewelry and accessories, all handcrafted, made in the USA, and embossed in crisp, readable Braille. Find us on the web at elegantinsightsjewelry.com or call us at 509-264-2588. Elegant Insights Braille Creations, jewelry and accessories with a tactile twist.
Welcome back to Serotalk Podcast 207, and Buddy, Microsoft is at it again. Although, honestly, this one's not so bad, maybe.
This one's kind of interesting in at least one respect, but no. As if taking Skype away wasn't bad enough. Yeah, now they're taking away Internet Explorer 8 and 10.
This
and
does interestingly, make sense, not, though.
This does make sense, but here's something interesting. Yeah, they're taking away 8, they're taking away 10, because those were on Windows 7, right?
Yeah.
They're not taking away Internet Explorer 9 support, however, because apparently, and I'm guessing that's because Vista is still a supported thing and will be until like the next couple of years, and nothing past 9 was released for Vista.
That does make sense. I hadn't even thought about that. I couldn't figure out why are they keeping 9, but they, I think, really want enterprises to get used to the idea that no, you can't cling to these old browsers and stuff. And what they can do is offer backwards compatibility modes in the later versions of the browser so that if an enterprise has stuff built specifically to be compatible with one of these things, then they sort of do have a backward compatibility mode, but it means that...
Well, the thing is they've had a backward compatibility mode for several versions, at least back to version 8.
People ignore its existence, and enterprises have gotten into this philosophy of this is what we tested, we spent a lot of time testing it, it works, we're not touching it anymore. And I think Microsoft is really sick of that because they're like, you people are going to make us support legacy stuff forever and we just don't want to.
Well, and realistically, just support-wise, working in support myself, supporting multiple versions of things can just really turn into a nightmare real fast.
Absolutely. So I totally applaud Microsoft for not wanting to do this. And in the end, I think it really will be for the enterprise's own good to kind of force this sort of upgrade. But they're going to have to change the way that they plan things, and they're going to have to build in time to test and release and update all these images for each update cycle. But they're going to have to get used to it sometime.
Yeah, the good news about this, too, is that they have given us plenty of warning this time, unlike what they did with Skype. They gave us lots of warning because they're not doing this until 2016.
Right, and with Skype, they did say, eventually, we're not going to develop for this anymore. And that's sort of all they said.
And
they
didn't say,
they didn't say, we're going to kill it completely. We're just not going to develop for it anymore. And that's sort of what people were expecting. Well, okay, yeah, if bugs happen or if it breaks on Windows 8.1, which SkypeKit did, then you're not going to fix that. We understand that. But they didn't really say, we're going to kill it at some point.
And if they did, they didn't make that very clear, nor did they give any sort of timetable at all.
Right. And so I like that they're doing this for Internet Explorer, which you can use on your desktop or on your Surface, I reckon.
I reckon, unless they kill that too. This article
killing
says,
is our business, and business is good.
This I just have to say, remember, yeah. this is the kind of headline that I hate.
Yes, yes. Four reasons why Microsoft Surface might bite the dust.
Yeah, I hate it for two reasons now, actually, because, well, first of all, because of that, and second of all, because, like, really, Microsoft Surface is doing so well that if it goes away, anyone will notice.
Yeah, well.
Well.
Some of their reasons are interesting. One is that the tablet itself is kind of plateauing a little bit, and so maybe that might bode a bad thing. Although I did see an article this morning that said that the Surface ads are not going after iPads. They're going after a MacBook Airs.
Yeah,
Well, it's that similar price point. Surface has really been targeting the MacBook Air for several months now.
Right. They want it to be kind of a desktop replacement rather than a tablet. So it does make sense that they're doing this. It's just,
I don't think that it's a great strategy. I mean, I think that if you want a notebook, you want a notebook for very specific reasons. I want a notebook because it's got a keyboard and I can type on it.
So what about the argument that Ballmer, it was kind of his baby, and Nadella's here and he's willing to cut some 18,000 jobs and he's willing to do whatever he needs to do for the good of the company?
I think if Nadella sees that this is a bad idea, that he would kill it. I think that he is... I kind of think of him with the surgeon's philosophy, where if, it's going to hurt you to for me to go in and cut this out, but in the long run, it will benefit you, and I've got to make the decision to go in and do this. So,
I think he's all about
that. If he decides that this is just not working, it'll go. And Microsoft wanted to do this because they wanted to have a reference piece of hardware for people that were making tablets to run this sort of tablet version of Windows. I mean, Microsoft was trying to get people used to the idea that it's not just about the desktop anymore, and we can showcase this stuff on tablets. Maybe that has been done well enough, and you have all these other much cheaper things like the Dell, the Vimeos, and Acer is doing some. There's the Transformer, and that was Asus, I believe. And
yes,
all these hardware people are making Windows 8 tablets, and they're not claiming, hey, this is going to be a replacement for your iPad Air or whatever, which
they're making this like a, this is a tablet, and that's what it is. I wonder, is Windows RT still a thing?
I remember that they were going to kill it. I don't know if they did actually kill it, but I don't know of anything that's running Windows RT.
I don't either, apart from the original Surface.
Right.
Yeah,
that's not anywhere anymore. The Surface 2 is certainly not running RT, nor is the latest version of that. And Windows Phone has its own Windows Phone thingy, which is not RT. So, I think that is dead. And Microsoft is continuing to change a lot of stuff about their interface. I think they made some gambles initially, some of which paid off and some of which really did not. Like, a lot of people did not find the charms bar particularly charming. And so that is going away very likely in Windows 9. Bringing back some version of the start menu, that's going to happen because people really hated the idea of not having that. And virtual desktops, yeah.
Virtual desktops are probably going to really mess with traditional Windows users' heads.
I'm not a fan of that, even on the Mac. I wish I could turn off spaces.
On the I think you can. It's under expose, I think.
Interesting. I will have to have a look.
But yeah, spaces are pretty useless to us. But I mean, like Mac has it, Linux has it, GNOME anyway has it.
Yep.
Has multiple desktops. But Windows never has, and I'm going to be curious to see how, like, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Windows people are going to react to that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure anybody has actually asked for this. Man, I wish Windows had virtual desktops. But the thing is, they may do this as a sort of power user thing that you have to search for rather than shoving it in your face and going, hey, users, you want this thing that may be really confusing to you.
Right, that may be.
So that should be interesting.
Well, who would have thought that this whole discussion of things going away and being done with, that we would actually be talking about BlackBerry still hanging in there and maybe, you know, not doing as badly as people would have expected at this point in time.
Yeah, except that it is kind of doing badly. It's just that,
There's some hope for it, though. Yeah. I mean, it's doing badly in terms of hardware.
In certain sectors.
Yeah.
With their software suite and so forth for people who really need that, you know, very secure stuff.
Enterprise thing. Management stuff, right. So the BlackBerry Enterprise suite is maybe the thing that's going to save them. And it's because, you know, during their, like, dying gasps of last year, they introduced this thing that would allow people to use BlackBerry software on multiple devices. So not just our hardware, but iPad and Android and the like. And that could be the thing that saves them, because a lot of places still do need this very secure device management suite. And nobody else has really done this in a way that has caught on. So BlackBerry, while their hardware, like, they don't even include BlackBerry in the list of hardware that
they can't even say, like, we're number three.
Yeah, no, it's like less than 1%. So it's kind of, we're not even putting you on the list
anymore. I think they might
even
be behind Symbian.
Right. Yeah, so you're not even on the list anymore. But with their software, this could still be a thing, especially because it doesn't matter which device you're using now. And theoretically, then, people can bring their own devices, and some people can have Android and some people can have iPad, and still those things can be managed from a single interface.
And that's a good thing, yes.
And in the meantime, those 2 million people who are still on dial-up are paying AOL around $20 a month.
Man, who knew?
A month.
I can't believe it. Who knew?
I know. It's like, that's a pretty... I think I'd be happy with the... like $40 million a month, I think.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. So,
and I guess if you don't have any choice, you don't have any choice. But
so the people that are dialing up,
it just hurts my brain.
You know, does AOL look the same? Can you still go on and you've got mail? And
I was wondering the same thing.
I heard,
like,
somebody.
What can you actually do once you log on?
Yes, I heard somebody in the airport the other day, and I'm assuming that he had downloaded this himself and customized the sound. But his thing went, "You've got mail," and my head just went up like, "Er?" You know, because I was thinking, is somebody actually using AOL? But no, he probably just customized that. But yeah, it's amazing that there are still people on dial-up, and more amazing, and by amazing, I mean, that's really sad, that it's $20 a month. Really?
Yes.
I mean, Netflix
is... That just hurts my brain.
Netflix is like $9, and you can do a lot with that. You're going to charge me $20 a month to use a modem? Wow.
I mean, how totally 1998?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And even in 1998, that was like premium dial-up. Like, you know, if you shopped around, you could get dial-up for, you know, like $10 a month.
Yeah, I remember $9.95 dial-up, and then $14.95 got you some extra things. And so, yeah, AOL, that is mean. All these rural people who don't have any other option, I guess, they're kind of being taken to the cleaners. Very sad.
Well, at least it's unlimited dial-up and not like, you know, like 5 hours of internet time or
right,
something.
Right,
like
that is
it used to be back in the day.
Maybe Apple or Samsung should just like spin off a division to do some of the things like Google is doing, where they're trying to, you know, internet balloons and all of that kind of thing. Or maybe they could work together to do something like
no.
that. Okay, maybe not. Maybe that's going a little too far, but at least they are dropping. They're becoming, the animosity is decreasing.
Yeah, they're starting to bury, as like Mac OS Ken says, like they're burying the hatchet, but not in each other this time.
I like that. Yeah, that is quite true, actually. They're dropping a lot of these patent suits outside the U.S. And if you'll remember, a couple of months ago, they dropped a couple of them here in the U.S. because they were going back and forth and like, well, you copied our design. Yeah, well, you copied our wireless radio technology.
Yeah, you did it first.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, well, you did it second.
I can't imagine the amount of legal, the economy for lawyers who practice a certain kind of patent litigation, I suppose, was really good for a while because Apple and Samsung were supporting them. But yeah, they're dropping these patent suits outside the U.S., but there are no cross-licensing agreements, so this could be just a break before they get really angry at each other again. Or it could be just, okay, we're stepping back, and then maybe eventually they'll work together and do some cross-licensing. It's hard to say.
So really, the bean counters looked at the bill that they were paying their accountant or their lawyers
really
and said, whoa, that we probably need to do something different.
We're not going to be able to provide free coffee on the campuses anymore if you keep these patents up. And then everybody, oh, no.
That's right.
And the donuts are going too,
yeah.
by the way. Just saying.
We'll stop.
Speaking of dropping things, buddy, not one's keys in the parking lot. What about this marriage between Sprint and T-Mobile that did not happen, apparently?
It did not happen, and actually this makes me kind of happy. But mostly because I really like T-Mobile. I wish they had better coverage in more places, but
yeah.
I mean, I really like the way they do stuff, and they've always had really fantastic customer service. I've never had a customer service problem with T-Mobile. I think getting swallowed up by Sprint would just be bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, and I guess Sprint.
So this doesn't
so
hurt
too.
My feelings at all.
Sprint was like, "Oh, people are yelling at us now, and you know, we don't really want to go through all this." Hey, T-Mobile, like, I like you, but I'm not in like with you anymore.
That's right.
We're just dropping this whole thing. But yeah, T-Mobile, I do wish they had better coverage because what you said, buddy, is what I hear from everybody, that they have fantastic customer service. They do some really innovative things when it comes to plans and the like.
Yeah, so really customer friendly.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
And I hope that they can stay that way. I would love to see the network expand because I'm not in love with AT&T by any means and would be happy to go to a more customer friendly place. I just, the coverage doesn't exist here for me to do that. But yeah, it looks like T-Mobile is going to remain single and Sprint is not going to swallow them up.
Yeah, you know, I read something about some other company, though, that was thinking about trying to buy them, and I can't remember what that company
Everybody's been courting T-Mobile because it was AT&T and Sprint, and wasn't there some other thing that
happened?
Oh,
I'm really glad that AT&T didn't get them. That would have been, yeah. Well, if Sprint had gotten them, I'd be curious what they would do because they use different architectures, right?
I thought about that, too.
But then... Same thing with what happened with when Sprint bought Nextel. Then Nextel became Boost. So, yeah.
The times, they are a change. And I think I say that about every 3 weeks. I'm going to have to come up with a different lyric.
Yeah, and it's true, too.
It's true.
Yeah, because the times, they are changing about every 3 weeks.
Yes.
That's about right.
Well, there's the we live in interesting times Chinese, or may you live in interesting times Chinese proverb.
Good.
And
yeah.
We do.
Well, coming up after the break, I'm going to blow a little smoke. Ricky is going to relive her second childhood, and Buddy gets a sign right here on Serotalk 207.
HIMS is proud to introduce the Blaze EZ, our new handheld multiplayer.
Blaze EZ gives you power and versatility in a device that's simple to use. Blaze EZ is in a league all of its own. A 5-megapixel camera gives you the power to scan menus, brochures, and other printed texts. Wi-Fi gives you access to podcasts, internet radio, and other content. Bluetooth lets you connect wirelessly to an external speaker of your choice. And there's so much more. For more information, visit us at www.hims-inc.com. Hims, your needs are our solutions.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My backyard.
Oh, your backyard. Try telling a bear that.
I did, and this bear talked back.
Talking bear, that's rich.
No, wait, it was Smokey Bear.
Smokey?
Why didn't you say so?
I did say so.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste.
No, boy.
He told me to burn legally and responsibly, and to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
And as always, he's right. You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Yeah, I know that now.
Thanks to me.
Actually, thanks to Smokey.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Because 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Saratalk Podcast 207, and it's time for the... What is that smell?
God.
That's right.
It's like rotten fruit mixed with... Ugh. I never knew that's what bad audio smelled like. Wow.
Mm.
Woo. Mailbag, think you forgot
whatever
to...
Whatever you ate most recently, mailbag, don't eat that anymore.
Yeah, don't do that.
Why?
You were... picking up some of these eye reports and stuff on the Riverwalk, they were left out in the sun a little too long. And, man, need a hazmat suit to get in here and clean mailbag.
God. This is just bad.
Not good.
So we'll look through and maybe sanitize a couple of these maybe for feedback special later.
I think we're gonna have to. It's like cleaning out the refrigerator. You just, you know, kind of dump the whole thing in a big old scary place and run away real fast.
Yeah.
Seriously, we do love getting your feedback, and we'll promise not to leave said feedback out in the sun, because unlike mayonnaise, it does not create secret sauce when you do that. Simpsons reference.
No.
So do send us your comments, thoughts, feedback, whatever you happen to wish to say to us, resources@saratalk.com. You can comment on the blog at saratalk.com. Leave us an eye report through the lovely iBlink radio for Android, iOS, Kindle, Mac. What are we going to take over next? You can also call the Blab Line, 866-997-2522.
It's time now for Roundabout. Roundabout. 70 years of memories. That would be...
Yes.
Smokey Bear memories.
Smokey Bear. And by the way, I have to point out here that his name is Smokey Bear.
Not
There's no
Smokey
the in his
the
name.
Bear. Nope.
As my friends from New Mexico were very quick to tell us when we went rock climbing when I did that in 1993, they said, yes, it is Smokey Bear. It is not Smokey the Bear. There's no the in his name. So, yes, it is Smokey Bear. And if you prevent a wildfire, you may get a hug.
So there are some things. I won't try to recap the entire life of Smokey because
this
it's
is a really cool article. Dude.
It is a cool article, and you really should read it from start to finish. But I didn't realize, first of all, I didn't know that it was a World War II
I didn't either.
That was a trip.
Partly because they were concerned that there wouldn't be enough firefighters to deal with forest fires because they were deployed. But I did not realize that Japanese forces tried to start forest fires on this continent.
No, I didn't know that either.
I didn't either. I had no idea that this was happening. But yeah, and who knew? Like, you know, comics of like little Hitlers setting forest fires and stuff.
And they dispensed with all of that, but, you know, of course, kept the idea of Smokey alive.
And then they even got a real Smokey.
Yes.
Who lived to a ripe old age.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was
a bear that had really been in a fire. But they saved him and nursed him back to health. And he had a wife and an adopted child. And that's just about a way any family story should be.
Exactly. I think. Absolutely. Very cool bear's life for sure. One thing I didn't know was they were talking about how Smokey did all of this education, you know, only you can prevent forest fires and things like that.
Have you heard the latest commercials? Like it's the same guy, I think.
Wow.
That did it like when we were kids.
No, I have not heard that. No. But the one thing that they couldn't really get Smokey to do, and I don't know how they would go about this, is to educate the public that there are some forest fires that are actually necessary and do help to kind of keep things in balance. But how would you know? Only you can prevent forest fires, and there are some that you shouldn't prevent. And, you know, it would be like the fine print, only prevent forest fires in forests that do not contain the following trees. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's like, you know, only you can maybe... Yeah, I guess only you can prevent wildfires, or, you know, before that it was forest fires, you know, by like not dropping your cigarettes in dry brush and you know, being sure to put your campfire out correctly and all that. But if you happen to see a wildfire, it might be a beneficial one, you know, like if lightning struck a tree or something. So that's okay, but you can't really say that.
How would you know? Yeah.
No. Right. If it's approaching your campsite at a rapid pace, you might want to call the authorities.
Yes, and let them decide what to do with said wildfire.
Yeah. Do not start fires at home. Yeah, well, anyway, get the idea. No, but it really is. It's cool to think about Smokey the Bear. I did it. Ah, I have to pay a $5 fine
That's
now.
That's right.
Cha-ching. Okay. So it's cool to think about Smokey Bear and his life, but it's just heartwarming to think about a child snuggling and clutching a teddy bear as he or she squeezes through the fence at the White House. Oops.
Yeah. Oops is right. Like did the word go out on the toddler circuit? Like the president has really awesome cookies. You need to go and get through the fence. Bring some out. This is your mission if you choose to accept it. We really don't know the motivation of the toddler who did this, but I think it must have been really interesting for the Secret Service people working that day because, you know.
Maybe they saw a pretty flower on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, so hey, I want to go investigate. That fence is just kind of another neat
thing. But
where
were the parents? That's what I want to know.
I want to know that too because, I mean, I think that the White House maybe doesn't have like a lot of other houses close to it, or am I wrong about that? You know, how isolated is it? Are there residences?
Yeah, like me and the president, we're next door neighbors. You know, we
barbecued together and like, you know, I had to call him one time, man, because he was listening to some music and it was after 10 o'clock.
He really needed to turn it down.
It was loud.
But and then, you know, I went over and borrowed a cup of sugar from him the other day as well.
Michelle, so, she's all cool about that kind of thing. She just, you know.
So I'm curious because my wife has a picture of I got to play a gig at the college where I do music appreciation, and the governor was there. I did not get to shake his hand, unfortunately. But of course, before the music started, they were doing all the speeches and the stuff that they do because we like dedicated this big farm campus that the college has, and all solar and green, and we're just doing all kinds of cool stuff. Anyway, there's a picture that she has of someone had told a joke, and one of my bandmates was slapping his knee, just laughing it up. And there, right behind him, is a Secret Service in a black suit with not even the hint of a smile on his face. So,
wow.
It's like at some point, these people have got to break character because you're not going to approach a little kid with the stern, mean look on your face.
Yeah, you got the holstered gun and like, need to ask you some questions.
Kid?
Why are you on? You are an unauthorized personnel on the premises. No, I think at some point
somebody had to break character, which would have probably been about as interesting to watch as the child.
Exactly. Yeah. And luckily they did find the parents fairly quickly, and the child was returned safely. But that's going to be an adventure that, I mean, the stories that I have from when I was a kid are not really that interesting. Like, remember that time you climbed that tree and fell out? Yeah, well, this kid, remember?
Yeah, of course, the earliest memory I have is riding in a shopping cart with my little friend, and my little friend was trying to kick me out of the shopping cart.
Oh, no.
Like, literally trying to kick me out of the shopping cart.
Wow.
What? Yeah. Not nice.
No.
You know, that's not nearly as cool as, you know, like sneaking through the White House fans.
No, it's really not. It's pretty hard to top that one, actually. I'll tell you something else that would be hard to top, and that's going to a restaurant, buddy, where you ordered food using sign language.
This is such a cool idea.
It is.
I love this. And you know, I don't know what this says about me, but the first thing that I thought of when I saw this was that you would have the same problem you have at any other restaurant where the server approaches you right when your mouth is full. And you're like, is everything okay? Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to happen also because you'll have the utensils in your hand and they'll approach you and, you know, want to ask if everything is okay right when you're lifting a bite to your mouth. So how would the signing work in instances like that?
Well, then of course there's the other thing about, about getting the menu read to you.
Yes.
That might take a while.
That's a big one. And that I hadn't even considered. I was too busy thinking about being my hands too full to talk.
So just for the sake of our listeners, the menus actually have signs on them, so you don't have to know sign language, but you learn a little bit as you go because it shows you what to do. Yes, apparently, the sign, the picture is next to the food item. So, for a blind patron, that would be
a little interesting. Very interesting. I remember in my previous job, I worked at a recruiting agency and did, you know, job placement and resume writing and such for people with all sorts of disabilities, and there would be times when a new client would come in and the client was deaf. And if I happened to be at the front desk at that time, you know, the person would walk in and there would be silence. And then I would know, oh, okay, you know, they're deaf. And unfortunately, I didn't know sign language. So we would communicate by typing on the keyboard, which would speak to me. And of course, they would read the screen, and it was a way to communicate. But that would get rather interesting if you're there and you don't know sign language and you need to ask a question. Like, and I guess this would be true for anybody. If you need to ask a question, is this spicy, for example,
MSG?
Yeah, you can't really point to a thing on the menu and there may not be a sign for that. So this would be kind of interesting. Are people going to be looking up signs on their phones for, let's see, the sign for M, then S, then G? That's a neat learning opportunity.
I wonder if they're going to put in a thing where it's like, okay, text your waiter.
That would be great. That would be very nice way to deal with being able to ask questions fairly easily and accessibly for all parties.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll do that. That would be cool.
Well, I tell you what, you can throw us up a smoke signal, or you can send us a sign, or you can just leave an iReport. We'd like to know what you think about this podcast. We are actually going to take another break next week because of more convention coverage, this time from the Blinded Veterans Association, as Ricky mentioned at the top of the show. Coming up, though, in just not too many days from now, you can look forward to episodes of Triple Click Home, that Android show, High Contrast, and, the ever-present EOL lurks in the shadows. You never know where it's going to pop
That's right. There might be some instances where we num, 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 num.
Nice. Well, that's going to wrap up the news portion of this program, but stick around because I'm going to demonstrate iBlink Radio for the Mac. I'm really excited about it, and by the time I'm done, I hope you are too. Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
We here at Serotech are excited about all of the products that we have to offer, and we receive a lot of positive feedback about all of them. But one product that we probably receive more constant positive feedback about than any other is iBlink Radio. iOS users have used iBlink Radio for years, and now Android and Kindle Fire users are able to use it as well. But we're not done, not by a long way. We're here to announce and to present to you iBlink Radio for the Mac. You've been asking for it for a long time. We've been wanting to bring it to you for a long time, and it's finally here. First, let's talk about obtaining and installing iBlink Radio for the Mac. You can find it from the App Store just by doing a search for iBlink Radio. That's I-B-L-I-N-K, Radio. Installation is very straightforward. There are just a few questions that you need to answer, and it's quite easy to determine where you are in the process. And the questions themselves are very straightforward. So for anyone who has ever installed a product on the Mac, I think you will find this to be a very pleasant experience. This demonstration is going to assume that you already have the product installed, and we're going to just take a look at the interface. We're going to take a look at SAMNET Connect. We're going to take a look at podcasts and listening to some described audio. So that's kind of where this demonstration is headed. Without further ado, let's get started. With iBlink Radio installed, open your Applications folder and bring the app into focus. I just typed IB. And then let's open it with Command O.
Open iBlink Radio. Now in iBlink Radio window, name, table, row 1 of 28, name, listen to Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by pudding, selected.
Anyone who's used iBlink Radio on other platforms is going to feel quite at home on the Mac. We can just arrow up and down. In fact, we don't even really have to interact with anything. Let's just use our arrow keys.
Submit an iReport. Audio tutorials and interviews. Blindness resources. Catch convention fever. Community radio. Listen to ACB 2014 SPN Special 1.
So you get the idea. Let's use option up arrow to go to the top of the list.
Listen to Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by pudding.
Let's VO left arrow just to see what's here.
iBlink Radio. Zoom button. Minimize button. Close button.
And then VO right again.
Minimize button. Zoom button. iBlink Radio. Name, table, row 1. Open. Default button. Presets button. Downloads button. Recently played button. Previous page. Dim button. Next page. Dim button.
So a very simple interface indeed. Let's go back to our list of items.
Previous. Recent, download, preset, open, name, table, row 1 of 28, name, listen to Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by pudding, selected.
And let's press return here.
Now in, listen to, you are currently on HTML content. To enter the web area, press control, option, shift, down arrow, Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by pudding, vertical line, Serotalk HTML content, iBlink Radio has new window.
From where we are right now, we can interact with the HTML area and take a look at the podcast show notes.
Entering banner landmark, interact with Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by putting vertical line, Serotalk HTML content, Serotalk.
And I can jump by headings. Let's do VO Command H.
Heading level 1, Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by putting.
And we can use VO right arrow to move to the show notes themselves.
Link by link. Lisa Salinger joins Jamie Pauls and Joe Steinkamp to discuss the top news stories of the week. Then, Buddy Brannon visits with.
And of course, we have a link coming up here.
Link, Hobby Wedler.
So, really great way to listen to content and look at show notes at the same time. Let's close this. Actually, let's uninteract with this area.
Leaving main landmark, stop interacting with Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by putting vertical line Serotalk 8.
And I'm going to right arrow, VO right arrow.
Play button.
So we have the play button.
Download button.
Certainly can download this for offline listening later.
Add preset, dim button. Previous track, dim button. Next track. Dim button. Position. 0%. Position. Dim. 0%.
So let's go over to the play button quickly.
Position. Previous. Add. Down. Play button. Press play button.
Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the
and
individuals.
There's our friend
and
Patrick.
Serotalk Corporation. It's
staff. Pause that.
Directors or
press pause button. You are currently on a button.
It's a great way to listen to content from Serotalk. Let's close this window.
Close window. Now in iBlink Radio window. Name, table, row 1 of 28, name, listen to Serotalk Podcast 206, injury by pudding.
If you are familiar with iBlink Radio at all, you know that one of the categories we have here is SAMNet Sampler. I'm just going to jump to that quickly by typing SAM.
SAMNet Sampler.
And we'll press return here.
Now in SAMNet Sampler window, name, table, row 1 of 8, name, using the SAMNet Socializer, selected.
This area contains a sampling of content that's available to our SAMNet community members, including some training by our very own Lisa Salinger. And so we can just arrow up and down here.
Audio tour of the American Printing House for the Blind, History of Rock and Roll. Interviews from the 2013 Texas Church Conference for Unveiling the Sarotech and using Bard with SAM, connect to SAMNet.
And there we have connect to SAMNet. Once you have explored what we have to offer and you're interested in more content, you can simply sign in if you already have an account. Or if you don't have one, you can create one right from the Mac.
Now in login window, account number, edit text.
I will enter my account number and PIN number and then press return.
Now in SAM name table, row 1 of 35, name, listen to High Contrast episode 23, Rootin' Tootin' Good Time, selected.
So now we are actually in SAMNet because I have logged in. Before we're done, we'll see that at the top of iBlink Radio's main window, we have a connect to SAMNet option because the SAMNet sampler goes away. You don't need it anymore if you're a part of the SAMNet community. I want to demonstrate playing some content from within SAMNet. So I'm going to go to the entertainment section.
Entertainment.
I'm going to press return there.
Now in entertainment window, name, table, row 105.
I'm going to go to
describe video programming.
Just press the letter D there.
Name, table, row 105, name, children in the...
Now going to move to
television programs and documentaries.
Just by pressing the letter T, press return there.
Name, table, row 1051, name, 24.
Now, one of the things that we have done is to make content easier to find, especially if you are in a category with lots and lots of links. Sometimes it would take quite a while for them to open up. So I'm going to move to the next page option. Earlier we heard it, but it was dimmed. Now it is not.
Presets, downloads, recently, previous, next page button. Press next, name, table, row 1050.
And I'm going to type F-O-U-R.
Four more feet.
To move to the documentary that I want us to take a quick look at. Four more feet. Press return there.
Now in four more feet window, HTML content.
We have the HTML area.
Play button.
The play button.
Download button.
Download button. So you see very similar to podcasts.
Play button.
We can hit the play button here.
Press play button.
Fade into camera point of view, approaching a snowy mountain.
You are currently on a button.
Scenes of the forest, broken mountains, and
press pause.
We can pause that. So, anything that you want to play on SAMNet, as well as anything from the front page of iBlink Radio, is available to you. Let's close this window with Command W.
Close window. Now in television programs.
And again, Command W.
Close window. Now in SAMNet home window. Entertainment. Edit text.
And again, another Command W.
Close window. Now in iBlink Radio window, name, table, row.
So we're in the iBlink Radio main interface. If we do option up arrow.
Connect to SAMNet.
We now have the connect to SAMNet option because we're already logged in. By now you may be thinking, it's all well and good to have iBlink Radio on more than one device, but how am I going to keep track of everything? If I start listening to content on one device, how am I going to keep track of where it is on the other device that I might be using? Or, for example, preset. How will I go about managing presets on multiple devices? We've actually made that quite simple. I'm going to demonstrate presets here, as a matter of fact. Let's go over to the presets area with VO right arrow.
Open default button. Presets button.
And VO space.
Press now in presets window. Name table row 1 of 2. Name SPN radio. Your station, your community, selected. Twitch TV network.
So we have two presets already in this list. Let's get out of this window.
Close window. Now in iBlink Radio window, presets button.
Let's move left.
Open, deep, name, table, row 1 of 28, name, connect to SAMNet, select.
And let's choose community radio.
Community radio.
Press return.
Now in community radio window, name, table, row 1 of 51, name, SPN radio. 9.5 The Mix. ACB Radio Streams. The Bell.
So if I wanted to add the bell to my list of presets, I would press return to launch the station.
Now in the bell window, HTML content.
And then I'm going to VO right arrow over to the presets or add preset button. Press VO space. I will then move away from that button and I'll come back to it and we'll see what's there.
Pause button. Download. Add preset button. Press add preset button. Previous track. Dim button. Remove preset button.
So instead of add preset, we now have a remove preset button. Let's close the radio station window. How could I
forget? Close window. Now in community radio, page 1 of 2, window, name.
Let's go back to the main interface.
Close window. Now in iBlink radio, window, name, table.
And let's go look at our list of presets again.
Open presets button. Press now in presets window. Name, table, row 1 of 3, name, the bell, selected.
And there we see that the bell has been added to our list of presets. Not only can you share presets between devices, but if you start listening to that documentary, for example, 4 More Feet on the Mac, you can pause it there and you can listen later, either on your PC or one of your other devices, right where you left off. So we have you covered as far as managing multiple devices. A few words about SAMnet using iBlink Radio. There are some things that you can certainly do. You can look at forums, you can play content as we've seen. One of the things that you can't do is read email, but that's okay because setting up email on the Mac is quite easy to do and it works quite well. We continue to add features, we continue to update, and so things may change, but as of this demonstration, that's where we are. I've made mention several times about downloading content for later listening. It's very straightforward. Once the download has completed, you will receive an alert letting you know that it is there. You can either play the content right from that alert, or you can hit the OK button, which is the default button, and later on go to the downloads area of iBlink Radio. You will find the content that you've downloaded. You can either play it or just use Command Delete to remove it from your device. Very simple. Very straightforward. That's going to wrap up this demonstration. I think you get the idea that iBlink Radio for Mac is a wonderful new addition, a new platform, and it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for many of us who use the Mac. Go grab it in the App Store. Try a 14-day trial of SAMnet, and once your time is up, we are satisfied that you will go ahead and stay in our community. We'd love to hear from you. Resources@serotech.com is the email address to use. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/serotech, S-E-R-O-T-E-K, to learn about all of our products. Or finally, visit us at www.serotech.com.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us online at www.serotalk.com. Send an email to resources@serotalk.com. Leave us an iReport using iBlink Radio, available in the App Store and Google Play. Or call the Blab line at 1-866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.